The following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
All right, everybody, good morning. How's everybody today? Everybody's kind of good. It's kind of an overcast, gray, rainy day, but it just makes me happy that we can be inside together. Today we're starting a brand new, just a short two-week series called Doors. In fact, you saw the promo for At the Movies. We're going to talk more about that after the sermon today. But I really believe that this short little series is going to actually speak to where a lot of us are at in our spiritual journey. Deep down inside, if we were being honest and transparent with each other, with one another this morning, many of us know that the current condition of our life is not how we could or even how we should be living. It's not the life that God ordained for you. You know it. You know deep down inside, I'm off course. I'm off track. Somehow I've ended up in the wrong place. I've walked through some doors that I shouldn't have gone through. Some here today only need, you know, some minor adjustments to get back on track. Others here are probably, you know, in a group this size, there are probably others that are so far off course that if I asked what God's plan or what God's will was or is for your life, you couldn't even begin to articulate it this morning. But if we were being honest with each other, a majority of us in this room need some type of course correction. Throughout the scriptures, you'll find common everyday items used. Jesus would often use, and many times in scripture, you'll read things like, my word is a lamp, right? A lamp is kind of a common day thing, a lamp unto my feet. And they use these things to help describe spiritual concepts. You know, lamps, like I mentioned, salt, oil is written about in the state of a metaphor. There are several places, though, and what we're going to talk about in this short series, where doors are used to symbolize opportunity. Doors being used to symbolize opportunity. Revelations 3, 7, and 8 says, what he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. And so if God has opened the door, until he returns and comes back to get his bride, to get his church, he hasn't shut the door. What God opens, even you can't shut. Not your choices, not even your circumstances. And you may say here this morning, well, Andrew, I'm at a place that is so bad spiritually. You can't even get to where God wants me to be from where I am today. And can I tell you, oh yes, you can. You can get to that place. I want you to be encouraged today, because what God opens, nobody can shut. When you allow God to get back involved with your life, there's a scripture that says that he will make the crooked way straight. He can make the rough road smooth again. Going on in our passage in Revelations, he says, verse 8, he says, I know all the things you do. Everybody say all things. He knows all the things that you've done, and yet he still loves you. He still wants to be part of your life. And some of us carry this faulty view of God, and we think that because of our behavior, God is perpetually mad at us. But really, in all reality, it's just the opposite. He just keeps loving us. When we get off course, when we get off track, he doesn't wanna whip us. He doesn't wanna beat us back into shape. And the next phrase in verse 8 is really the key of our series. And it says here, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. And so I want to encourage somebody today, if you're off course, if you find yourself there, God always gives a way back. No matter how hopeless your situation is, he always provides a way out. And so you need to know that God has set before you an open door. He's given each and every one of us in this room another opportunity. Ephesians 5:15 says, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise." Over the course of your life, you're going to have a bunch of doors in front of you. So can I encourage you as your pastor here this morning, be careful. Because not all of the doors are good. Not all of the doors are helpful to your life. Verse 16, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. In other words, be sure to notice the doors that God has opened, the opportunities that God has set up for us, because we live in a day that is exceedingly evil. Verse 17, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And for some people, that's really the problem. They don't understand what God wants them to do. You know, they'll say things like, you know, Andrew, I'm praying and I've been trying to find God's will for my life for a long time. I don't have a clue. So that's probably a small percentage of people in this room. On the other hand, most of us know exactly what God's will is for our lives. Most of us in this room know exactly what God has called us to do. The problem is that you're just not doing it. And so if you've been serving God for any length of time, we've all had seasons in our lives where we've searched for the will of God. How many of you have had seasons where you've searched and you've said, God, what is your will? I think almost all of us in this room could raise our hands and say, yes, I've been there. You know, we start asking God things like, should I marry her or should I marry her? You know, she's so fine, but her family's loaded. Somebody say amen. What a problem, right? Believe me, I didn't have a choice between two. I was lucky to get the one that I had, all right? Maybe you're trying to decide this college or that college or this major or that major. Or you're praying, God, should I take this job or that job? Perhaps you're praying, God, I'll take any job I can get. Just show me your will, God. Show me your way. So many people are praying for direction. They're praying to know God's will. And they say, I don't know what to do. I'm at a crossroads. I've got multiple doors in front of me. I'm not sure which one that I should walk through. And so if you find yourself off course this morning, if we're going to get our life back to the place that it should be, if we want to live the life that we know that we could and should live, we've got to learn how to find, we've got to learn how to recognize and choose the door that God has opened before you. Here's the best way that I can describe God's will this morning. In most cases, I don't believe it is a finite or a specific, you must do this. Yes, there are occasions when God, like God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, right? There are instances where God will tell you, this is exactly what I knew. But many times I think that God's will for our lives is really being in a certain zone, being in a certain area. It's almost like, you know, when your children are little and they're growing up, they learn how to color between the lines. The will of God is a lot like the door frame. Around a door, you've got the two vertical posts and then the one horizontal. We walk between these two vertical lines. I'm not sure if we have any golfers here this morning. I like to golf. I usually get out two or three times a year. Typically, when I get out, I have more fun than the avid golfers that I play with, because I get out there and I know that I'm terrible and I stink. And I just, you know, I enjoy it because I like the scenery. I like being outside. I'm not going to lie, I like driving the golf cart. That's probably the biggest fun for me, you know. I like the camaraderie. I like hitting something as hard as I can. You know, sometimes we need to do that once in a while. But even with the little bit that I play, I've learned that golf can be a maddening game. How can it take you three swings to get the ball 300 yards and then four more swings to get the ball the last 22 feet into the cup? It can drive you crazy. And so we find that the will of God is bordered by two things. It's a lot like the game of golf. Those who are good golfers here in the room will tell you the difference between a good score and a bad score is where you end up on your first shot off the tee. And so for those of you that aren't golfers here, I'll just tell you that every hole is bordered by what they call the rough. You see, right in the middle, there's this really short grass that's really nice to hit off of, right in the middle, and that's called the fairway. And if you keep your ball in the fairway, the game is a whole lot easier. The people playing behind you will be a whole lot happier if you keep your ball in the fairway. But if you shoot off to the left or to the right, you find yourself in the tall grass, or you can find yourself, you know, in the mud or in a sand trap, or worse yet, usually what happens to me, I'm off in the woods 15 yards somewhere. I'm like, I'm not even looking for the ball. I don't care that much. I'll just throw a new one out, right? And so for a lot of us, that's where we are. We're doing our very best to go towards God. We're trying to aim right for the green, right for that pin in the middle. Yet we find ourselves having gone through the wrong door. And we find ourselves, we wake up one morning and we realize, hey man, I'm out of bounds. I'm in the hazard. I'm in the rough. I've completely missed the fairway. And so just like golf, God's will is bordered by two things that I want to share for you. And if you've got your service guide, your sermon outline in your service guide, I'd love for you to follow along with me and fill these out. Here's the first blank in your outline. The first side of that door frame, the first side of the fairway is God's moral will. God's moral will. You can find the moral will of God by what God has already said in his word. In other words, God is never going to provide a door of opportunity that's outside of what's written in his word. Listen, men, you never have to pray, Lord, this lady at the office is fine. We've really hit it off. Our personality is really connected. And not only that, my wife isn't meeting my needs. Should I get with her? God, should I commit adultery? Listen, you don't even have to go there. You don't even have to ask that prayer. The answer will never be yes, because God's already established that within his commands. And I want to just pause here for a moment and say that all of the commands that you read in Scripture are for you. God never instructed us to not participate in certain behaviors just to make Christianity as restrictive as possible. They weren't written, believe it or not, and some of us come from a movement that kind of taught it this way, but these things, they weren't written to prove how serious you are about serving him. Every command that you read in this book is for your benefit, not his. He gives us these guidelines. He says, take this path. Use the fairway. Don't have sex outside of marriage. Save yourself the pain and embarrassment of getting an STD or from having a child out of wedlock, from having to break the soul ties of all the partners you've had when you do finally decide to settle down. It says, don't be drunk. Save yourself from acting like a fool. Abusing your family, from getting busted while driving intoxicated, or worse yet, maybe even killing somebody in an accident. Can I tell you this morning, the things that we read in Scripture aren't because God wants something from you, but rather he wants something for you. In other words, God is saying, if you hit it here, your life is going to be so much easier. And so the reason that so many of us struggle with this moral will of God is because we don't read His Word. We don't know what's contained in here. In fact, in your service guide this morning is a soap Bible reading handout. It looks just like this. Every month, these come out in your service guides. These are also available on our church app, and you can get it this way. But listen, every person that considers the Lifeway your church home, I want to tell you, you should be participating in this. This is going to take you no more than 15 minutes a day. A lot of days it's 7 or 8 minutes. And all you have to do is you simply read the chapter of the day. And then in a journal, you simply write S. And then where you write S, you're going to write out the verse from that chapter that most spoke to you. For those of you that don't like to read, we've made it even easier. If you open this up on our church app, you can actually hit play and a guy in this great voice will read it for you. You don't even have to take out your Bible. All right, so you write down S and you write down the one verse in that chapter that spoke to you. And then you write an O underneath that and you write down what you think God is trying to say in this passage of Scripture. And then what I want you to do is under the O, you write an A. And from there, you're going to write out, you're going to personalize what you've read and how am I going to apply this to my life? That's the key. So many of us grew up and we were told every day, well, read your Bible. It was a duty. Listen, if this Bible isn't applied to our lives, don't even waste your time. All right, we've got to apply this truth to our lives. How does this affect where I'm living today? And then finally, we write a P for prayer where we write down a personal message to God about what you've learned and you ask Him to help you apply this truth. And I promise you this, there are people that have come to me, many people that have come to me in this church that have told me that this has completely transformed and revolutionized their walk with God. Some people that have served God for 20 and 30 years have come to me and said, I've never felt more alive in my Christian faith than doing this simple activity. We make it so easy. We like I said, we hand these out in our service guides the first Sunday of every month. It's available on our church app, and we also have journals for free back at Information Central. So there might be a run on journals. So whoever's back there today, we may need to get more out of the car today. But we've got journals for you. There is no excuse not to try it today. You're gonna grow. You're gonna learn things. So you see, this is what happens. When we read the Word of God, we are actually able, there's a place in Scripture that talks about this, where we're actually able to see our reflection. And so when you read a verse about love, you're gonna see yourself. And you're either going to see, you know, this looks like love or it doesn't look like love. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is helpful for correcting and rebuking. And it's not just bad things, but also for encouraging us. And it helps us get back on the right track. And so if you aren't reading the Bible, this is what it's like. How many of you have seen a golfer walk up to the tee to take their first shot? It would be like me putting a blindfold on you and spinning you all around and pushing you towards the direction of the tee box. And you're just hitting the ball. You have no idea where the fairway is. And so it's so important that we follow God's moral will. So on one side, his will is bordered by what He has already said in His Word. The other side of the fairway, the other doorpost, so to speak, is God's sovereign will. God's sovereign will. And the best way that I can describe that this morning is this, is it is what God is doing on earth. It's what God is up to. Now I want to clarify something, and I apologize. This is a pretty direct message this morning, but I really feel like God wants some of us to hear this. But I want to clarify what is a big misconception in Christianity. The purpose of our lives on earth isn't for God to be there at your beck and call. The purpose of our lives isn't to be there for God just to give us the things we want. The whole purpose of life is to align ourselves with what He has planned for us. To serve Him and to live our life with purpose. I love the way that Mark Twain said this. This is one of my favorite quotes. It says this: the two most important days in your life are the day that you were born and the day that you find out why. So many people, including Christians, they think that life is all about them. And when things get tough, they have this attitude, well, I'll just call on my heavenly Santa Claus to pour out some blessings, to pour out some gifts to make my journey easier. Listen, that's not what it's about. Every single one of us, from the youngest person in this room to the oldest person in this room, all of us here have been given a mission. You have a purpose. God has given you a calling. And can I tell you what? Your life is never going to make sense if you're simply out there living it for yourself. So you want to find God's will for your life. Put yourself in this zone. Border it. Frame it on one side by the moral will of God. And then you need to frame it on the other side. Well, what is God up to? Sadly, most people don't know. And they certainly don't know what God desires to do in their own lives. Now here's the key. Here's the next blank in your outline. I want you to write this down. It's this: is the more I get to know the moral will of God and the sovereign will of God, the better I will find God's will for my life. In other words, the more I know this side of the fairway, the moral will, and the more that I know this side of the fairway, the sovereign will of God, the better that I'm going to be able to find out God's will for my life, the more my life is going to start making sense. And here's what you're going to discover is that when you live your life in the fairway, the game gets so much easier. It's so much more rewarding. It's so much more fun. In fact, if we had the time to pass the microphone and you would be willing to be transparent, some of you could probably even preach this better than I could. You don't even need me to convince you of this, right? You know, go ahead and play the game by any rules. Just toss this aside. There are hazards out there. There are some of you that are sitting here today that you are miserable because you can't even find your ball. You're somewhere out in the lake. You're somewhere buried in the sand. You're somewhere out in the woods. Your life is all messed up. And can I tell you, in the same way, a life lived without God and a life lived with no purposes is going to do the same thing in your life. And I know this is heavy this morning, but I want to tell you that we have great hope. Because no matter what has happened, God still has a wonderful plan for your life. I love this passage of scripture, Psalms 139, 16. It says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Now there are some of you that would say, you know, Andrew, there's no way that I'm living, that the life I'm living is the book that God wrote for me. I know for a fact I've added a whole bunch of chapters that God never intended to be part of my story. But the good news this morning is that regardless of what you've added that wasn't part of the original script, God has the ability to make the last chapter fit. God can always bring you back. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything. Everybody say everything. Everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. God is saying that in all things, in our poor decisions, in the wrong doors that you've walked through, in the bad places and the bad seasons that you've been in your life, God can still work it out for good. What he opens, no man can shut. And so what I want to do today is help you back. No matter how much you've messed things up, if you don't like the direction that you're going, I want to give you hope this morning. The Bible says that the more wrong that you do, the more grace he has for you. Let me prove it to you. Romans 5:20. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. This is another area where many of us have the opposite perspective of what God actually does. He's not sitting up there saying, well, you know, my child, when you get your act together, I'll love you again. You know, when you get things all put back together, I'll give you grace again, but until that point, I'm going to give you less grace. No, he doesn't do this. The more you sin, the more he wants to be involved in your life, the more that he's longing for you to come back. Another scripture in Revelation says, behold, I stand at the door. He's standing there, and he's knocking, and he's waiting for you to come. When sin increases, grace increases. But I want to pause right there and tell you at the same time, for those of you that are mature followers of Jesus, there's a balance there, because just a few verses later, you know, that there isn't a license. You know, this grace isn't a license for you to say, well, great, this is a sweet deal. I can do whatever I want and God's just gonna forgive me. No, don't do that. Just a couple of verses later, it says this: shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Verse 2, by no means we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And it's my prayer this morning that some of you here would stop seeing God as someone who's walking around in heaven with a big old billy club, just waiting for you to mess up so he can whap you upside the head. But instead, that you would hear his gentle voice, that you'd hear the voice of him reaching out to you, that voice full of love saying, come back to me today. Put it back in the fairway. Here's the door. Here's my door. I've left it open for you. Listen to how Isaiah says it. He says, your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. So I want to encourage everybody here this morning to make a course correction. Our God is inviting. He's full of mercy. He's long-suffering. He's full of love. Let's get back on track. Life is so much better when we're doing what God wants us to do. And so I want to give you three practical questions that are going to help you with your course correction. Question number one is this: what am I doing that I should not be doing? What am I doing that I should not be doing? If you solve that question, you're well on your way to getting back onto the fairway. Where have I violated? Where have I gone outside of the moral will of God? Where have I let myself get off track? There are many of you sitting in this room this morning that without even a moment to think about it, you know the exact area that I'm talking about. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Can I tell you, that's how many of us end up in the wrong places. We get enamored with the world, with the sports, and with the shopping, and with the vacations, and chasing down all the news stories. And listen, there's really nothing wrong with any of those things, but if you put them in the wrong place, they will, I promise you, they will pull you far, far away from God. Going on, it says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. He's saying, come on, get back on track. And then there's a promise, though. When you get back on track, when you do this, it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Proverbs 4:25 says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Stay on the fairway this morning. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do today. Let's get ourselves back onto track, back between the lines. The God we serve isn't mad at you for doing whatever it is wrong that you've done, but he's over there and he's pointing at this door of opportunity, waiting for you to walk through it. Here's the second question. It's the other side of this door frame. It's the other side of God's will, and that is number two, what am I not doing that I should be doing? What am I not doing that I should be doing? Because even if you course correct yourself and you get back on track morally, your life still won't make sense until you said, God, what are you up to in my life? I find it really interesting that when Jesus taught the disciples and when he taught us to pray, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done. In other words, Jesus was saying, God, what do you want me to do? Prayer isn't just about notifying God about all your wants and all of your wishes and your desires. Prayer is an opportunity for us to align our lives, to adjust to his will. That's why at the very end, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, not my will, but yours be done. Can I tell you this morning, that's why we have Growth Track here at the Lifeway Church. Growth Track is not something that we do after service on Sunday morning because I have nothing better to do for an hour after service. No, its primary function is to help you find God's purpose for your life. And so right after service this morning is a great opportunity for you to start the Growth Track and begin to discover how God designed you and work at getting you in line with how God intended you to live your life. In fact, I don't do this often, but every once in a while I feel this so strongly. I challenge you to put it to the test. You do the soap journaling and attend Growth Track and join the dream team. Give me 3 months. Give me 90 days. And at the end of those 90 days, if your walk with God isn't stronger and your life isn't more fulfilled, you just come and tell me, you show me your journal, and Shiloh and I will take you at my expense to any restaurant in town that you want to go to. Why? Because I'm confident that when you do these things, your life is going to be completely transformed. This works. Now I want to give a word of caution here for those that are sitting here. And I know there's a group of you sitting here who know exactly what God wants you to do, but for whatever reason you're not doing it. I want you to listen to what the Bible says in James 4:17. He says, remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. It's a sin. If God's told you to do something and you're not doing it, it is a sin. The most powerful prayer that you can pray every morning is, God, what do you want me to do? And don't just pray the prayer, but then follow through on what he's told you to do. 1 Peter 4:2 is a great verse, and it says, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. What will happen is you'll start living your life so much in the fairway that you'll jump up in the morning and say, God, what do I get to accomplish for you? You'll wake up on Sunday morning, those of you that are on the dream team and are here at 7:30 in the morning, you'll jump up and you'll be excited that you get to do something that is furthering the will of God. And so this morning I'm helping you with a course correction. Let's get our lives back on track. Why? What am I not doing that I should be doing? Once again, answer that question, and you're well on your way to being back on the fairway. And then here's the last question. That is this, number three, why not do it today? Why not do it today? I'd be remiss to not deal with the procrastination factor. truthfully, there's nothing that I've said here this morning that anybody that's been around for any length of time hasn't heard before. The voice of God has been behind you, whispering in your ear for a long, long time. But we must be careful because the Bible says that God will not always strive with man. If you constantly resist his voice, if you constantly resist as he tries to bring correction in your life, I promise you, he's going to allow some things to happen that aren't good to get your attention, to get you back on track. And listen to me, you don't want to go there. When you hear the whisper, respond. When you hear that voice behind you, respond today. I want to close with 2 Corinthians 6, chapter 2, and it says this, "For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation." Today is the day. Right now is the time. I want everybody here to close your eyes right now. And I just want you to be very still for a moment. I want you to let the Spirit of God begin to speak to your heart right now. I think that God wants to help every single one of us in this room course correct, to get our lives back on track, to get to a place where you begin to fulfill the purpose and plan that God has in your life. If that's you here this morning, you might ask, you know, what do I have to do? What should I do? First, you need to confess the fact that you've gone the wrong way. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and he's just and he'll forgive our sins. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I tell you this morning, he doesn't just forgive it, but he gives you a clean slate. You get a do-over, you get a fresh start. And there are some of you here this morning that need that today. And then secondly, you just surrender your life to his control. We stop living for our fleshly desires and we begin to live for the will of God. God, what can I do? Some of you here today say, you know what, I am a devoted follower of Christ. I know that for a fact, but I do recognize this morning that I need a minor course correction. And yet there are others that you're so far off the fairway, you don't even know if you're on the right hole. Regardless of how little or how much off course you are, if you know that you need that adjustment and you want to come home, you want to come back to that door that God has opened for you, you want to get back on track, I encourage you, do it today. Just a few minutes, I want to pray for you, but if you're at that place today and you say, you know what, Andrew, I know, I need to repent. That word simply means a change of direction. It means to turn around. It means that you went through the wrong door. You need to repent and give Jesus your life. Surrender your life to his control. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around this morning. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but if that's you, I think it's important that you respond to God. And if you respond just by lifting your hands, if you say, I'm ready to say, God, I need a course correction. Why don't you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Thank you. There's a hand here. Thank you. Any more hands? Another hand here. Another hand here. Hands here. All over the place. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I wonder if we could all now just stand up together. In a moment, we're going to pray. And as you're standing, I challenge you to ask the question, God, what are you speaking to me today? God, what are you trying to say to me today? And after we're finished praying, we're gonna spend some time just talking to the Lord. I'm gonna lead you in another song, but I'm also gonna have some leaders come down here to the front, and they're up here in the front to pray with you if you need prayer in any area of your life. Maybe you're just off course and you want someone to just specifically pray exactly where you're at. Maybe you've got a physical need. You need a healing in your body. You've got a spiritual need, an emotional need. I encourage you, when we start singing, just begin to step into the aisle and come down to the front, and they're here to pray for you. But this is what I want us to do. I want everyone to just begin to talk to God in your own way. If you don't know the words to say, then you can feel free to repeat after me. But I want everyone to talk to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for opening a door this morning. Lord, and for leaving it open.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.